Good morning. It's good to be with you today. I've been looking forward all week to being with you, and isn't that a nice thing to be able to say? Been looking forward to being together. Welcome to those of you on Zoom. Let me take a quick count. One, two, three, four. Okay, we have at least a dozen people, and maybe more because some of them aren't showing themselves on the screen, which is just fine. We're just glad you're here with us. Welcome. I see some all the way here from the Midwest. And so it's great. They can come and visit us without even getting in the car. So that's great. Can you all hear okay? Is everything working all right? Give me a thumbs up if it's good. Okay. All right. Great. If you ever ran cross country in school or in a club, whatever, then I want you to remember. And if you haven't, then I want you to imagine. You can probably have a pretty good sense how this works. You step up to the white line on the course, do a couple of final leg stretches, arm stretches to get the kinks out. Everything's ready. The other runners all do the same. You set your feet just so, body in the ready position. You haven't even started yet, but you're already sweating. The starter holds up a gun and calls out, "Ready?" And in that moment, your body tenses in anticipation. The course before you is hard and long. Every cross-country course is either hard and long or harder and longer. That's just how they work. This is going to be difficult, but you're ready. The gun goes off, and you launch into the race, and you run. And you run, and you run, and this is much like how we run the race of faith, the race of the Christian life as we follow Jesus. Today I'm wrapping up a series of lessons that we began on video, for those of you who are able to follow along there, a series called A Great Cloud of Witnesses. We've been studying from Hebrews chapter 11, and today we'll look at the first few verses of chapter 12 to close out the series. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, defined faith as confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Emphasis there on what we do not see. Faith has to do with things that are unseen. But then the writer, having said that, takes us through Hebrews chapter 11, giving us a long list of what we have seen. Because we may not be able to see God, and we may not be able to see what God will do in the future, but here's what we can see. People who have run this race before us, and who have run it well. And so he gave us a list of people for us to look at. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the nation of Israel, Rahab, Gideon, David, Daniel, Daniel's three friends, mothers whose sons were raised back to life, a man named Eliezer, not even in our Bible, but the Jews knew his story. He was tortured and refused to disobey God, even if it meant that he would be released. These are all people we've seen run their races and run well. Their stories have been passed down by God's people throughout the ages. We cannot see God. We cannot see what he will do in the future. Such things are hidden from our sight until they come to pass. And so the writer has spent all of chapter 11 reminding us of what we have seen. The lives of faithful people who ran the race of faith well. By watching them, we have the assurance of knowing that the God who was there for them will be there for us. And that assurance is faith. And by faith, we can run our race and run it well because our God is faithful and he helps us. Now, as we read the last part of our text in this series, the writer wraps up his list of faithful people by adding two more heroes of faith to his list. These are the last two. See if you can catch who they are. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The writer talks about a great cloud of witnesses, all these people who have gone before us and ran the race of faith well. And then he adds a couple more to this group of people who have lived by faith, who have run the race of faith well. Who does he add first? Well, it's kind of subtle, but he adds us first of all. He says, just like they ran, now you run. In fact, there's basically one command in these three verses, and it is run. And so you take off along the course. You set yourself a strong, steady pace, and you can hear your coach calling out encouragement. Throw off everything that hinders. Run with perseverance. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. The writer here is our coach, trying to help us run, trying to help us win. What is he trying to say to us? First, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Whatever slows you down in this race, get rid of it. Now, you may remember that the book of Hebrews was written out of the time and the location of Greco-Roman culture, so first century AD. When Hebrews was written, in that culture, runners in the races ran naked. They didn't let anything impede their progress, not even a little bit of modest clothing. Throw off everything that hinders, particularly any and all sin. Sin entangles us so easily. It trips us up. It breaks down our relationship with God. It breaks down our relationships with each other. It erodes our love and corrupts our holiness. Get rid of it. Throw it off and run. Run the race of faith. Run the course that God has laid out before you. The writer calls us to be heroes of faith, too. He doesn't use that word heroes. That's my word, not his. He's just calling us to run the race of faith in God. But he wants us to be faithful as all those people we consider great heroes of the faith in the past that he's talked about have been faithful. He wants us to run like they did. So be righteous like Abel. Be obedient to God like Rahab. Be courageous like Daniel. Be faithful even to death like so many of the prophets. We have such a great cloud of witnesses. And notice that they're not there to witness our race. That's not what the writer is saying. They're not fans in the stands as we run the course, but they're witnessing to us about the faithfulness of God, testifying that God is faithful. So many who have been faithful have, through God's work in their lives, given evidence of God's faithfulness. Often in our lives, we see what we see gives evidence of what we cannot see. So, for example, you'll know the answer to this one. If you see the sky covered with smoke, you know there's a Fire, yes. And we've experienced that just recently, haven't we? If you see people getting sick in a whole new way, you may not be able to see the virus, but you know there's a new one out there, right? We've learned about that too. If you see all these people of the past who did great things for God, who were flawed human beings like we are, but whose lives were transformed and shone brilliantly because of the power of God at work in them and because they lived for Him, you see them and you know that God is faithful. When we see Jesus suffer and die on the cross unjustly, and then we see Him raised from the dead and exalted at the right hand of the throne of God, we know that God is faithful. And Jesus, faithful to the end, now glorified, is our absolute best model of faithful living. The writer calls us to be people of faith, like the people who are now such a great cloud of witnesses to the faithfulness of God. So he sort of adds us to the list, and then he points us to one last hero of faith, the greatest one of all. And he says, Jesus! Look at Jesus. Look at how He runs. Run like He runs. Jesus is the second person the writer adds to his list of people of faith in our text today. And the last one, he saved the very best for last. To run the race of faith and to do so with perseverance, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He was the first to run this race perfectly. And he was the first to run it from start all the way to the finish. He ran it from the first step of faith to the shame of the cross. And he endured the shame and pressed on and ran all the way to glory at the right hand of the throne of God. And he did it entirely without sin. Oh, he was tempted just like we are, but he did not sin. He ran this race perfectly. Others have run this race until they passed from this life, but they haven't yet received their prize in eternal glory. They're still waiting for that part. Jesus is the first to run all the way to glory. Fix your eyes on Jesus and run this race like He did until we receive our glory from God. The writer is our coach. He keeps calling out to us, trying to encourage us the way that my old cross-country coach would yell at us during the race. He'd run up to the place where we would pass by on the track, and he would call out to us something like, longer strides, push hard, attack the hill. Swing your arms, anything to get us to run our absolute best until we crossed the finish line. So our writer says, our coach, he says, throw off everything that hinders. Throw off sin. Run with perseverance. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider Jesus. Why does the writer have to urge us like this, like a coach yelling to his cross-country team? He calls to us like this because he knows the race is hard. This is a long, hard course that we've been given to run. He mentions three things that make the race of faith difficult. One, sin. Sin that so easily entangles us. It distracts us and controls us and trips us up in the race of faith, so that we don't run the way that we should. Sometimes it can get us so down that we are tempted to give up. Can't you feel it drag you down, slow down your progress, pull you in the opposite direction from the finish line when you give in to your anger again? When filthy language slips out of your lips, when you spend your day pursuing things that are selfish and that don't honor God, Can't you feel it drag you down? And then there's shame. Jesus faced so much shame on the cross. And I'm not talking about healthy shame for, you know, when we've sinned and we need to repent. I'm talking about shame that's imposed on us by people who don't share our faith, the shame that's put on us for doing what is right, the kind of shame Jesus faced on the cross. In his culture, crucifixion was considered the most shameful way a person could be put to death. In fact, so shameful that Roman citizens could not be crucified. That was considered too shameful for citizens. Have you ever been embarrassed or hesitant to tell someone that you're a Christian? I've been there. If you know that they disapprove of your faith or they just think it's silly, that's embarrassing. And then we're ashamed that we feel ashamed because we don't want to be ashamed of Christ. Or when the whole team at work is pushing so hard to make a profit and to please the boss that they'll cut corners or they'll engage in shady practices, but you refuse to do it, and then they look at you like you're an old-fashioned moral snob. That's shaming. That hurts. But Jesus scorned the shame of the cross in order to give us his life to pay for our sins, to set us free from God's judgment. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And as he endured shame for us, so we are called to endure shame for him. And then there's opposition from sinners. Sinners opposed Jesus. Sinners will oppose us too if we live for Jesus. Jesus told his disciples one day that if the world hated him, it will hate them also because they follow him. Faith is a threat to the world's status quo. It works on God's value system, not the world's value system. It works on God's agenda, not the world's agenda. It gives first allegiance always to God and never to the power structures of the world. People living sinful lives may find the life of faith offensive and oppose the faithful. And we have to endure that sometimes. You run, straining up steep hills, under a hot sun, against stiff competition, muscles screaming, lungs aching. Some moments it seems like you'll never make it to the finish line, but it can be done. Those of you who heard Jack Campbell speak last week, remember his analogy of Roger Bannister, the first person to ever run a 4-minute mile. Before he did it, no one thought it could be done. But once he did it, many thought it could be, they saw it could be done, and many since him have done it. It's the same for us with Jesus. We know we can run this race and run it well because we look at Jesus and we see Jesus did it. If he did it, then by the help of the same God who helped him, we can do it too. We can do it if we keep our eyes on Jesus. Watch people who fall away from their faith. They fall away because they took their eyes off of Jesus. It's when we take our eyes off Jesus that we get entangled in sin or that we begin to grow weary and lose heart. So keep Jesus constantly in your sights and in your mind. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Endure. Endure. The writer of Hebrews has been trying to teach us all through chapter 11, really through the whole book of Hebrews. This is his point to the church. Endure. Don't give up. Press on. Go forward, not backward. We can't see God. We can't see the future, what God will do there. But we can see his faithfulness in the lives of those who have gone before us, all these great witnesses who now surround us, such a great cloud of witnesses. There are probably going to be challenges to your faith this week or this month or this year. Something's going to happen. It'll be hard. Someone will say something. You'll feel weighed down from waiting and waiting for God to answer your prayers. You'll wonder, does he even hear these prayers? Is he even out there? Someone will oppose your faith. Someone will make you feel ashamed, or maybe life will just be hard. It's been hard recently. Remember our great cloud of witnesses. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We are surrounded by witnesses to God's faithfulness. Witnesses whose lives testify that God is faithful to his people. Remember these witnesses: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Rahab, Daniel, David, so many more. And in their time, since their time, even today, some right here in this room now, some online with us, some will be here with us later. And there's Jesus. Jesus, most of all. Jesus crucified and raised from the dead, the greatest witness to the faithfulness of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus and run the race of faith. And whatever happens this week, this month, in the year to come, God will be faithful, as he has always been, and he will help us, and one day he will bring us into his glory, where we will see him face to face, and we will see Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May God bless you. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving us Jesus, our Lord, who ran this race so well. Lord, help us to run like he did. Fix our eyes on him and keep him ever before our eyes. Help us to be faithful, Lord, when we have to endure. Help us, Lord, to endure through temptation and to put away every sin. Work on us, Lord. Work on our lives to put away every sin. Help us, Lord, to run as Jesus did. Help us when there's shame. Help us to remember Jesus and how he endured the shame of the cross for us, and help us to endure whatever shame may come as we run for him. And help us to endure opposition from sinful people. Lord, remind us that we don't hate those who oppose us. We love them just as Jesus loved us when we opposed him. And help us, Lord, to endure. We pray, dear God, that you would speed the day when we would come to the finish line, when we would get to rest, when we would get to see you in all your glory. We yearn for that day and pray that it would come soon. Bless us. Strengthen our legs. Strengthen our bodies, and help us to run well until that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's sing together.